now we're thinking about a different way of using wind to bring a judgment or cleansing. Now, the meek shall inherit the what? Is that right or wrong? The 24 elders said, we shall rule and reign on the earth. Didn't he? Well, how can we, if we're going to be meek, and yet we're going to rule and reign and inherit the earth, it seems like that God's got to take the earth away from the bad guys and give them the good guys. You know. Tells us in Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to say to the angels, gather ye together, what's the next word? First the tares, and get rid of them, and then get the good guys in the kingdom. Isn't that what he said there? In Matthew 13, basically, the concept here. Now, here's a whole new idea. What if God's just going to blow on the bad guys?
Can
you
get us up out of it?
Well, wait a minute. What if God, in using the destructive power, wanted to bring a big cyclone and blow across the face of the earth in order to cleanse it and in order to give the earth to the good guys again, like he did water in the first place? You know, it says in Peter, actually, that Noah was saved by the water. He wasn't hurt by the water. I wonder if you could be saved by the wind. Is that all right? Saved by the wind? Well, let's try this out. God caused a strong east wind to blow on the Red Sea, caused the waters to go back in a heap, and the good guys were saved by the wind. Is that correct? Let's try another one. God breathed upon the waters and separated the firmament from the waters. Know what it said, Genesis? And it's that wash wind, the Holy Spirit, that's actually forming the coastline in the United States right now. So we ought to praise the Lord every time we look at the ocean, because it's His wind that's keeping it out. His wind, Rosh, Rhema, Holy Spirit, that's firming these coastlines right now. One of these days, He's going to let it, you know, reform or seek its own level. But the use of God's wind is not new to bring deliverance to His people. But it's new to your thinking, I can tell. You're a motley crew. You got to raise your eyes tonight. What if God decides to use wind to bring a deliverance? What if God decides to use wind to bring a destruction, as He used water to deliver Noah and water to destroy the bad guys? He also used the water to deliver the title deed to the whole earth, to His friend Noah. That's how the meek inherited the earth, by hearing from God, doing what God told him to do, preparing, in this case, an ark of safety for the coming flood. They heard from God, prepared a physical ark, took physical activity, not just spiritual. Am I making sense on this now? It's not just a spiritual lesson, but there was a spiritual thought implanted from the Holy Spirit, and then there was physical activity that followed through. And without that physical activity, we wouldn't be here, because no one is saying they would have been wiped out. From this kind of thinking, it might be that this shaking might be a shaking of the stars of heaven and the sun. But I'm not talking about shaking of the thing that you look at through a telescope. I'm talking about the stars in
churches.
In the hall?
In churches, the seven churches.
There was a fellow who had his right hand raised, and in his hand he had seven
stars,
which are the seven
churches.
Angels to the seven
churches.
So a star is a man, a messenger. Right or wrong, Revelation students, a star is a symbol for a messenger. And what if the stars fall? Well, are you thinking about something that you're looking at, telescope falling? It might be that certain superstars, if you, that would be a person, could fall. Now, if we said it would be the Pope, then all the Protestants would say,
amen.
But if we said it was Billy Graham, then all the Baptists would say, you maybe you didn't know that the Baptists are mad at Billy Graham. Didn't you know that? Well, the main thought is that since he has got all these converts and didn't make Baptists out of them, then they're mad at him. Yeah, this is a real serious thing that's going on there. So, or let's take another one. Or Roberts, or, you know, any one of these guys. What if that was, and I'm not prophesying that it would be those, but what if somebody like them were the ones? And am I making sense on this? Now, the sun and the moon. Does anybody remember what the sun and moon are? Mother and father. Joseph's mother and father were the sun and the moon. Is that correct? Is that what the Bible says? Genesis 39. The sun and the moon. I saw the sun and moon, they bowed down to my star. Is that right?
Right.
And his father said, what? Shall your mother and I bow unto you? You remember the story? And so then, it just might be that we're finding a shaking or a coming away from family ties, family influences. Could I say the death of the family? And what better way is there to kill the family than the present welfare system? Where now, in Washington, D.C., it's far better from the physical aspect to be an unwed mother than to have a husband. And so, the highest percentage of girls in to have their babies in the hospital are not married because they get age-dependent children, ADC, they get welfare, so forth, and they can live with this man. He can father their children, but by not being married, they can actually make more money than a regular hard-working fellow. And so, consequently, when I say smart ones, you know what I'm talking about. The children of this world are smarter than, isn't that what it says about? So in that realm, the smart ones aren't getting married anymore, which then breaks the sun and moon, or failure of the relationship of the sun and moon. All these things could be somewhat symbolic, not just visual. It might not be that this comet actually bumps into us in the next month. It might. But what if we're seeing these things happening all about us in a symbolic realm right now? Would that be all right? Or will we say, hath not the scripture said? It's an earthquake. And an earthquake means the tower firmer, eat firmer no more. And it's going to fall apart. I'm really consistent on this. In other words, what we're trying to do here tonight is plant another concept and another thought. Perhaps these things that we've been looking for in a literal realm may actually be symbols for something that's happening right now, all around us. We may be well into the sixth seal from the symbolic standpoint right now. And we wouldn't want to be dogmatic because, now we're getting back to the other point I wanted to bring up, because of censorship. You see, if you establish this censorship and the spirit of censorship, it automatically means that you believe you're right. And you must be dogmatic about the way you believe right now and censor those who come along with any new kind of thing. Because what you've always believed, you know, in your big 30-foot chart, has to be right. And if a guy comes along saying, ha, 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 don't tell me they got cobblers in heaven. I don't know whether you caught that or not. Well, it tells us in the Bible that Jesus was riding on a horse, a white horse, is that right? And all the saints followed him on these white horses, is that right? Well, if they got white horses and they're all going to be on these white horses, then somebody's got to have a cobbler shop shoeing the horses in heaven. Okay? One famous Revelation teacher believes that everything in the book of Revelation is literal. And if it says horses are coming from heaven, then there are cobblers in heaven. And there's a forge, there's an anvil, and they must be shooting horses in heaven, getting them ready for the great battle. You know, this is what he believes, this is what he teaches. It's literal. We were under his ministry one time, and somebody asked him about the horses, and he said, literal horses. Does it say horses? It means horses. That settles it. One lady in our congregation began to cry and cry, uncontrolled, sobbing and weeping and upsetness. Well, in any group like this, if somebody over here in a corner starts crying and sobbing real loud and making a whole lot of fuss, we're going to stop, see what's wrong, right? So he stops her, what's wrong? And she says, oh, my little dog. And she just cried and cried some more. He said, what's wrong with your little dog? She said, well, it tells us in the Bible that outside the gates are the whoremongers and the dogs and the sorcerers. And she was just figured that that would be hell and all the dogs have to go to hell. And I think it's rather dangerous to be dogmatic about any one of our points that we're trying, you know, that we've looked at or believed. And in this case, this man was sorry that he'd been so dogmatic about the horses because he wanted to offer some consolation to this woman, because in this case the word dog is used in the same realm or way that a sodomist or a sodomite is used. One who practices sodomy is a dog in the Bible. And so outside are the whoremongers and the sodomites. And you can see that how that would work. And the word dog, in this case, is one who does that. But it said dog, and so it meant dog, and her dog was going to be outside. And to make it even worse, they believed that the rapture was going to be that night. So that meant that, you know, I mean, with this kind of thinking, constant things, you never see the dog again. But, you know, my poor... Well, I'm trying to paint this kind of a picture to show you how unwise it is to be strongly adamant and firm on everything that you know and believe. But if you set up a spirit of censorship, then that spirit of censorship must have something behind it. And what does it have it? A spirit of infallibility. Because if you want to censor and say, who can teach at our church, and who can teach at the Full Gospel Businessman, and who is a good man and who is a bad man, and put out blacklists and blackball people, then you must think that you yourself are a good guy, and you yourself know the difference, and you yourself know all truth, because this guy is teaching something that isn't truth. Making sense? I think that as we develop, we're going to have to watch out for this. When you find yourself in an environment, a know-it-all attitude that says, this can't be the Christ, hath not the Scripture said, they may be able to quote Scripture, but it's the spirit of the thing that counts. It's not just the letter. And we know that every jot and tittle of a letter is truth and has been fulfilled. Is that correct? So let's watch out and let's be very, very sensitive that we ourselves don't get a spirit of infallibility. One way that this spirit develops is in the Pentecostal realm, because after all, we're led by the Holy Spirit. So if the Pentecostal realm is led of the Holy Spirit, then whatever the Spirit tells us, we do. Or can I say it another way? Whatever we do is because the Holy Spirit told us. Therefore, in our particular church, every rule we ever passed must have been God's will, because we speak in tongues. Can you follow that kind of logic? Can you see how that develops? In the Pentecostal realm, there is a stronger spirit of infallibility than there is in the Catholic realm. And it was the Catholics who started it, saying that the Pope was, say it, infallible. Now we find a real strong infallible spirit in the Pentecostal realm. And that thing is sweeping over in the charismatic realm with tremendous, tremendous rolls, like tidal waves of infallibility. Then when you become infallible, now you're qualified to be a censor. And now you can decide on the basis of who agrees with you, who can speak at this place, in that place, at another place. And this is exactly what I see developing. This is exactly what I see developing throughout the whole realm. A hierarchy of charismatics being led by their infallible spirit and setting up a censorship bureau. But because of this spirit of censorship, and because of this monarchy that is being set up, though it's not presently organized, you will discover, and this is prophecy, during the next year, more and more strong forces to organize the charismatic move into the same thing that the Pentecostal move fell into and failed. An organized hierarchy and censorship bureau that will pass on the credentials and also the whole history, a man's whole life history, as to whether or not he can speak before this group. And you watch that strong thing begin to occur. I'm going to ask you a question. As these pressures come on you next year, think to yourself if Paul the Apostle could have passed such an examination. Now, come on now. He never made it. He never made it. He was a murderer. He was, and when I say murderer, you know, he held the cloaks when they, and he himself considered himself a murderer. He was a jailbird, convicted a whole lot of times. I've read lists of his offenses, and it just goes on and on and on. He'd have never made it to speak to this group if we'd have decided on his credentials. Am I making sense to you? Friends, I think that this spirit of censorship and infallibility is that thing which is going to turn the present move of God into another denomination. And a denomination is nothing but a tombstone to a past revival. That's a quotable quote. God moved in every denomination. And we're not against any. But then we cannot only embrace that structure. Call it Lutheran, call it Methodist, call it Baptist, call it Pentecostal, call it Charismatic. If that's all we allow, then we inbreed the same teachings, and after a while, we'll be singing, sing them over again to me, wonderful words. Just over and over, and we say that we reinforce constantly what we already know. And how many are aware of the fact that this is basically what happens in every church? It's just a constant reinforcement of what's already known. Now, I personally am not satisfied with that kind of thing. That, I just don't get a witness of that. I don't, you know what I mean, don't you? I don't get to witness better. I want to press on into God. If it's visions, then that's what I want. If it's healings, that's what I want. If it's tongues, that's what I want. If it's interpretation, if it's prophecy, if it's miracles, if it's, you know, if it's love, joy, peace, or any of the fruits or gifts, whatever it is, that's what I want. But if I just stay in a structure, that's all I have. Just that structure. That's why I personally so strongly feel that you should constantly visit many places. Avail yourself of the traveling ministries. Don't say, oh my, he's not in our... and wipe him out because he's not. Because you're going to lose what God is doing down the road if you just stick with this structure. It may be very soon now that certain stars will fall. And I'm thinking in terms of these stars right now as great leaders, religious leaders. Like in a similar way to the failure of the family unit. Though the family unit has not failed, the family unit is failing. Now we talk them into getting married. You know what I mean. And so, because of the... And I'm not finding fault with anybody. Can you understand this? I'm not finding fault with anybody. I'm not finding fault... I don't find fault with you no matter how you're living. It's just, this is the way things are right now. And so we're seeing things crumbling and falling apart. Or can I say shaking? That's a good word, isn't it, with this lesson here. And the whole structure is shaking. It may be that we find the whole religious structure shaking. And that pretty soon, more and more denominations will be less and less Bible or God-oriented, and more social reform-oriented. Sertoma-type club things. Toastmasters. And it turns into a what'd you do at church? We collected eyeglasses. For the, What's wrong with collecting eyeglasses? Nothing. But it's the emphasis, you see. What do you do when you go to church? You worship God. That's what churches are for. We got Sotoma people to collect eyeglasses. To work in the social thing. They asked Jesus about that, and he said, the poor you have with you always. Me, you better get this straightened out once and for all. You worship God, and then the people that have social problems, then they have the other agencies. However, in one area, he did say that the church was to support widows, orphans, that kind of thing. You know, I'll be glad when the Social Security fails. I mean that. And I don't mean to be nasty to people who are on Social Security, but really, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to the church. When that seismos attacks the Social Security. Because then the church will go back to doing what it should have been doing in the first place. Now, is anybody mad? No, I really don't think anybody's going to get hurt by it except us guys who have been paying in all these years. Most people that are drawn from Social Security have already drawn more than they put in. And that's the problem. That's why it's going to fail. This seismos, this earthquake here, may be a literal one. This time it says every mountain and island were removed. Up here, the mountains and islands are moved for that purpose. Because of that, it might be that this is literal, a literal earthquake. But because of what we see now, it might be a spiritual earthquake. Or it could be a great wind. What if we just threw up our hands and said, we don't know? Let's just keep on the ball, watching. Because as soon as we say, I do know, that's what I'm talking about. That ruins the whole thing. Now we got a structure. It's got to be like Ebal's book, page 28. Paragraph 3 and 2. After all, he was anointed by God when he wrote it. It's got to be exactly that. How many understand what I'm saying? Also, in the Christian realm, we have people right now who are listening to tapes and reading books written and spoken by prophets who died several years ago with that same attitude. That man was God's anointed for the hour, therefore everything he said or did must be right. The same infallible spirit. And some of you know what I'm talking about here, because it's real strong in the area of setting up a structure. In this case, the structure comes to us from Arizona, not Miami. But it's still structured everywhere we turn. My warning is simply, don't let it happen to you. Be free from this. Keep following the Spirit. Don't have such an adamant attitude that you can't look at something a brand new way and see it differently than you saw it yesterday. After all, that's the fresh breath of the Holy Spirit to take you to new areas where you haven't been before. And that's the secret of knowing God. Entering into new areas where you haven't been before. If I ask for a prayer request that every one of us cast out the spirit of infallibility and the spirit of censorship, will you agree that that's what we'll do tonight? Is that all right? Is that a reasonable prayer request? Stand with me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we're needy people and we need you. Of ourselves, we're nothing, can do nothing, we see nothing, hear nothing. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, Lord, give us gifts of eyes that see and ears that hear. We pray, Lord, that this lesson tonight will be remembered because of the Holy Spirit. That no person here will remember any word Dave Ebon said, but only that which has been taught by the Holy Spirit will be remembered or make any sense. We ask, Lord, that each one of us in the future will never be affected by a spirit of infallibility. Will never be affected by a spirit of censorship. But every one of us will press on toward the mark of the high calling. We pray, Lord, right now, and we agree together to cast out every spirit of infallibility, every hard-headed, know-it-all attitude. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. Give us soft heads, Lord. Give us the kind of heads that you can write on, fleshly tables of heart and head, and put your law into. We pray, Lord, that every spirit of censorship will be cast out in the name of Jesus. And every one of us will move on and move on and move on into the secret place of the Most High. And none of us will be satisfied with staying back. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, as your Holy Spirit drew us to you in the first place, Jesus, as your Holy Spirit is working on us, we pray, Lord, that we'll always be sensitive to follow your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the past. Thank you, Lord, for the present. And we pray, Lord, for sensitivity to follow in the future. Thank you, Lord.